Oh, if adhered to, will certainly help curtail the number of fires that would otherwise occur. However, in spite of the gratifying results that up-to-date fire prevention methods have brought about, fires still do occur. And when they occur, the most important problem facing us is the avoiding of any loss of life. Now, in this respect, the problem varies greatly according to the type of building involved, the number of people within the building, how quickly the fire will spread, and how well the building may be equipped with means of egress. For instance, a building may be one story high, or it may be 20 stories high. It may contain 20 people, or it may contain 2,000 people. It may be equipped with outer metal fire escapes, or inner concrete stairways. Or if an assembly hall, it may be equipped with regulation exit fire doors, which would be equipped with regulation panic hardware. Now, panic is another problem that definitely may enter into the picture. Wherever you have large gatherings of people, there's always a chance of having a panic in the event of some emergency, such as fire. And believe me, this alone can be a great killer. An article in a recent Reader's Digest publication tells the following story. A number of years ago, on an afternoon before Christmas, in a small social hall in Calumet, Michigan, a woman's club was holding a party. The building in which the party was being held was a two-story brick structure with the meeting place on the second floor, which was reached by a single 6-foot-wide stairway. Now, after a while, the lack of ventilation, the crowd, and the steam heat began to make the room stuffy. And as a result, one of the women fainted. Someone near her called for water. Somebody else, not so near, for some inexplicable reason, screamed fire. Now, the consequence of that bit of thoughtlessness was the slaughter of 73 of the women in that little hall only 10 feet above the street. The firemen arrived a very few minutes after some outsider had put in a call for the fire department. Now, by that time, the bodies were piled so high on the stairway that the firemen had to put their ladders up to the second floor to get into the building. That is, the bodies were piled high and against the door, and the door could not be opened. Remember that, please, because as we go on with this little talk, we will be talking about doors that open inwards. Now, similar things have happened many times, and in all probability will happen again. In Baltimore, 40 people died in a theater crush over a false alarm fire. In a Montreal movie house, 78 children were trampled to death. The most notorious panic of modern times occurred in the Iroquois theater disaster. 602 persons lost their lives in a blaze which did only nominal damage to the building itself. Now, the foregoing facts point out why any province or state that have good fire prevention regulations usually have a separate code for assembly halls such as dance halls, theaters, cabarets, and any other place where large numbers of people may gather. At this time, I would like to go over a few of the important rules regarding means of egress that we have in various buildings according to good building regulations. That is, basic important regulations. For to cover the whole aspect of this particular subject would involve a full evening on this one subject alone. Basically, there must always be two exits in every building. Now, of course, one of these can be the entrance. That is, when you have two, it can be one in addition to the entrance, which would be an exit if people were leaving that way. Buildings of the large one-story type, such as factories, warehouses, and so on, must have exits placed around the perimeter of the building in the following manner. If of Class A type construction, so that the furthest point in the building from any one exit is not more than 150 feet. If of a wood frame type construction, so that the furthest point is not more than 75 feet. There are variations in this required distance according to type of building construction. But in any event, the distance will be between 75 and 150 feet, if not closer. Buildings of three stories must be equipped with either an inner or outer fire escape. Buildings over three stories, which would include apartments, office buildings, hotels, department stores, and so on, must have two or more, according to the size of the floor space, enclosed stairways equipped with self-closing regulation fire doors. These doors must open along the line of egress and be installed at each floor level. The final exit door at the bottom of these stairways must give direct access to the outside of the building. The stairway and enclosing walls must be built of a non-combustible or slow-burning material according to materials used in the construction of the rest of the building. The stairway must be well illuminated, and in certain occupancies, the doorways equipped with regulation exit signs. Some of these buildings also, according to their type of occupancy, must be equipped with an internal fire alarm. That is, an alarm system that, when put into operation, will quickly warn all occupants that a fire is taking place in the building. Now, at no time should this ever be confused with the type of alarm that calls the fire department. Let me explain further. We have run into cases where people have broken one of these break glass switches that puts one of these internal fire alarms into operation, and they think they have also called the fire department. They do not call the fire department. A separate call has to be made. They are a means of warning all the people in the building simultaneously that a fire is taking place. Now, buildings that fall into the assembly hall class, which would include community halls, dance halls, arenas, in fact, all halls of public assemblage, have very stringent regulations. Some of these regulations include all exit doors must be equipped with regulation panic hardware and no other locking device. All exit routes must be clearly marked with regulation exit signs. All exit doors shall open along the route of egress, and so on. Also, the number of occupants allowed in these buildings at any one time is controlled. For instance, in dance halls, cabarets, and nightclubs, no more than one person for each 15 square feet of floor space shall be allowed in the building at any one time. In certain other assembly halls, not more than one person for each 6 square feet of floor space. The width and number of exits in this type of building is figured out by units, a unit being 22 inches, according to the capacity of the building itself. Now, each exit must have a minimum width of 2 units or 44 inches. A unit is really the space that a column of people would take up in making an exit from the building. Now, these are a few of the regulations that covers the means of escape from buildings. It certainly does not cover the subject fully. However, I have pointed out these regulations as examples so that you will realize the thought and study that must, of necessity, go into drawing up of regulations such as these. The subject is further complicated by being covered simultaneously with matters of fire growth in a wide range of occupancies, with an almost infinite variety of plan forms in buildings, and the combustibility of materials, and finally with national habits and characteristics. Attention to detail is of the greatest importance. A single door opening the wrong way may directly cause an appalling disaster. Escape technique depends for its success not merely on the proper provision of means of escape, but also on its continuous maintenance, a thing that is beyond the scope of the person who designed the building, such as the architect, but definitely within the scope of inspecting fire officers, building owners, managers, engineers in buildings, or some such people. Escape techniques have been built up on a study of disasters. Disasters have occurred in all parts of the world in which persons have been burned or crushed to death. These cases are reported in coroner's inquests and in reports of fire experts or of commissions of inquiry. These reports are usually published and studied by fire experts and municipal officials throughout the world. The lesson to be derived from the reports are discussed and applied to similar conditions elsewhere. It is a grim thought that for every safety precaution generally accepted as good practice, some person has died. In most cases, many persons. That escape doors should open outwards is accepted as principle because many cases have occurred of crowd pressure closing doors which open inward, the fire service having subsequently to remove piles of corpses from behind them. Now, if memory serves me right, the tragedy in a Montreal movie house when 78 children lost their lives was due, in part at least, to exit doors that opened inwards, making it quite evident that the children in front were pushed against the door by the children behind, and thus the door could not be opened. Think of the difference here if the door had been a regulation exit door, opening outwards and equipped with panic bolts. For those of you that might not understand the workings of a panic bolt, I will explain that a panic bolt is a bar-like piece of equipment installed on doors stretching from one edge of the door to the other, and any pressure placed on it will automatically throw the door open along the line of travel. Here then, the pressure of the children on the door would have automatically thrown the door open, and most of them, if not all, would have been saved. We have now established a fact that modern up-to-date regulations are geared to have each building equipped with proper means of escape, no matter what size or the number of people it may contain. That is to say that in most parts of the country they are. However, I must confess that there are certain provinces and states lagging, some very far behind. I believe, though, that our particular part of the country can be classed as among the more progressive. You will remember that I said a short while ago that escape technique depends for its success not merely on the proper provisions of means of escape, but also on its continuous maintenance, a thing that is beyond the scope of the person who designed the building, but within the scope of building managers, owners, or inspecting fire officers. Now let us go over a few of the outstanding contraventions that occur in respect to the proper upkeep of means of escape. Contraventions that keep inspecting fire department personnel on a constant vigil and should keep building managers, engineers, or owners on a constant vigil also. Blocking or wedging a door leading to an inner escape stairway in an open position. These doors are primarily to avoid the inner stairway from becoming charged with smoke, fumes, and fire. If you have any of these doors blocked open, their purpose is immediately defeated. The placing of any materials whatsoever in these passageways or stairways. It has been previously explained that the size of these routes of egress have been carefully planned, and any materials placed therein cuts down on the size and in the event of an emergency would cause a bottleneck. Any materials placed therein could be of such a nature that it might form an obstacle over which people would trip or fall. Also, the material may be of a combustible nature, partly defeating the purpose of having these inner stairways and passageways built of a fireproof or fire-resistant material. Do not place any material whatsoever in these passageways. Now, this does remind me of an incident that happened here in Vancouver, in the Palomar that used to stand on the corner of Burrard and Alberni Streets. One of our inspectors was checking the building and had an inkling that Sandy DeSantis, the late Sandy DeSantis, who was the manager there, had been piling some chairs and tables in one of these passageways that led to a fire exit door. So, sure enough, upon his inspection, he found some tables and chairs in there, and of course he issued an order to Sandy to have them removed and discontinue this practice. And Sandy DeSantis said, "You know, this place is so well equipped with exits that if they were ever all opened at the same time, the roof would fall in." Now, they did have, or were well equipped with exits in the Palomar. All assembly halls are, if they're up to snuff, should we say. But Sandy missed the principle of keeping every exit clear. although they had lots of exits there, there may be a lot of people elected to use that particular exit, and then we would have had trouble. Now, exit lights being defective or not being turned on when the building is occupied, it is of the utmost importance that these exit lights shall always be in good working order and turned on at all times when the building is occupied. Alarm systems being defective. These systems provide the quickest possible way of warning all occupants that an evacuation of the building is necessary. It follows then that it is imperative that they always be in good working order. The installation of any ventilation shafts or openings of any sort in these escape passageways or stairways without first consulting your local fire and building department authorities. Automobiles or some other obstruction being placed on the outside of exit doors so that they would impede the flow of evacuees from any building. Definitely, the outside of these exit doors must be kept clear. Now, these are a few of the contraventions pertaining to the actual means of egress that occur. I would strongly suggest that you train yourself to spot these and other contraventions in buildings that you work in or even visit, and report what you see to the proper persons so that a quick correction can be brought about. Now, up to this point, we have talked about the buildings, how they should be equipped with proper means to bring about a safe evacuation when necessary. We have talked about keeping these important facilities in a constant state of readiness by providing their proper maintenance. I would like now to consider the actions and training of people to face these emergencies when and if they arise. The first important thing is to teach people to keep their heads. This, of course, is done by having talks now and then, covering the proper actions for each individual to take in the home that you live in, the plant, factory or office that you work in, the lodge or club that you belong to when an emergency arises. A classic example of what can be done by keeping your head is told by an army officer who, with his wife, was trapped a dozen stories above the ground in the terrible Winecoff Hotel fire in Atlanta. In this hotel fire, 119 people lost their lives. Most of the victims were on the upper floors, out of reach by fire department ladders. Now, other people were leaping to the pavement. The officer's wife, insane from fear, wanted to. He caught her by the arm, threatened to slap her, and said, "We have a chance if you'll do exactly what I tell you." First, they opened the water taps all the way in the wash basin and the tub. Then he took the blanket off the bed, soaked it in the bathtub, and gingerly opened the door to the smoke-filled hall and draped the blanket over the outside of the door to keep the door from catching fire as long as possible. Together they hoisted the mattress off the bed and propped it up against the inside of the door. They took a dresser and pushed it up against the mattress to hold it in place but the top of it still flopped down. So they got a chair, and by some means propped it up on the top of the dresser against the top of the mattress, and it held. Then the officer took a metal waste basket, and his wife took a pitcher. They start taking water out of the bathtub and thoroughly soak the mattress. Now, by this time, the water was 2 inches deep on the floor. The officer then opened the window very slightly at the top and very slightly at the bottom. Not enough to cause a fire-drawing draft, but enough to give them some of the much-needed ventilation, relief from the lung-searing smoke that was filling the room by this time. They then made a tent-like affair out of the rug on the floor, right adjacent to the window, and held their nostrils at the bottom of this small opening. They were still at the window 4 hours later when the firemen broke into the room, and they were alive. Practically everybody else on that floor had leaped, were asphyxiated, or had died from fire. Now that is what can possibly happen if a person keeps their head. Each year in the United States and Canada, there are more than 5,000 people lose their lives in home fires. With this in mind, it is the duty of the head of every family to have a plan if fire strikes in his home. A plan that the rest of the family have been made familiar with. The modern low ranch style home doesn't offer too much of a problem. There are certain cases in these homes where you can almost step out a window right onto the ground level. But it is the two-story house, especially those that may have a finished attic, that offers more concern. Make your plans by studying each bedroom in your home. Study the exits. Figure out ways of getting out without using the stairs. Rising heat, smoke, and flame often make stairways unusable. Now, if a window opens onto the roof of a garage or porch, it gives you an exit, a chance to get outside the house to a point where you could be rescued easily. The same may be true of a shed roof or the large branches of a tree that could be adjacent to a window. Now, if there are children or invalids in your home, your plans should include the help they would need to escape. A plan should include methods of escape from windows that open on a long drop without any natural aids to exit. Everyone should know how to tie a square knot so that they could possibly tie sheets together. Plan what object in each room you would tie the sheets onto if they were being used. Warn your family against rushing to a door and flinging it open. Tell them to feel the door first, and if it is hot, not to open it, as there is probably fire on the other side that will burst in on them if the door is open. The use of an alternative way out then is necessary. You may be asked the question, well, if I go to the door and it's hot, but my children are on the other side, I just have to go through the door. Well, all I can say is that if you open that door, you probably will never save your children. But if you can possibly get out an alternative way, such as a window onto a grass roof, jump down on the ground, find a ladder or some other means to go around the house and get up to their window, then you may save them. Everyone within your household should know the local fire department emergency number. Now, the emergency number in Vancouver proper is Fire 1234. Dial FI1234. Now, there are some of you here, probably from another municipality. You should become familiar with your emergency phone number. Provisions must always be made at every fire to call a fire department without any delay whatsoever. Within a very few minutes, if this is done, men equipped with not only the tools to extinguish the fire, but also the emergency means of escape will arrive on the scene. In all factories, warehouses, offices, and other places of employment, a definite plan of evacuating the building should be made. A definite plan that all employees are familiar with. The plan should include periodical inspections of all emergency means of exit, including exit doors, exit lights, illuminating lights and exits, passageways. Possibly the drawing up of a small pamphlet in which would be instructions to employees on what to do in times of emergency, where the emergency exits are located, and so on. The holding period.